up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. You are listening to Rude Awakening. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ, for a Monday, the 14th day of March 2011. I do host the shows on Mondays and Thursdays. My website is whatyouwanttobelievein.com. You can check out details there for more of my work and plans this year in 2011 before 2012, whatever the heck is supposed to go on. I gotta tell you, I've spoken on this show several times about the issue of fluoride and fluoridating our water supplies, something that Montreal and Vancouver don't do, something that Thunder Bay, Ontario, Waterloo, Ontario, Gatineau, Quebec, and others have stopped doing, and something that Calgary, Alberta recently stopped doing in a story that was reported, but not widely repeated. Today on the show, I've got a guest for us today, Mr. Sylvain Henry. Sylvain, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi, VK.
Wonderful, Sylvain. Good to have you here this morning. Sylvain, give us a bit of your background as it relates to you being a Canadian, and then we'll get into your work on fluoride and other issues.
Okay, well, actually, as a Canadian, I was born in Montreal. I was made in Halifax. That's where my parents passed their honeymoon. And I'm very proud to be part of this country, and I am very, very involved in my part time as a hobby in making sure that this country continues to be the beautiful country that I had when I was young.
Fantastic! So you were born in Montreal, and so you are a Quebecois, and you are a proud Canadian nationalist. As a hobby, you spend time saving this country, getting up, standing up, and fighting for our rights. Sylvain, we spoke a little bit yesterday about fluoridation. Can you tell us how you managed to get the fluoride out of the water supply in Gatineau, Quebec? For people out there who don't know, fluoride is a toxic substance. Debates around this have raged for about 50 years now, but they started as soon as it was introduced because it was a toxic waste product of the aluminum industry. And instead of paying tons and tons of money to safely dispose it, they diluted it and conned the dental and medical and scientific establishments into endorsing it as something that we should ingest to improve the health of our teeth. It may work topically, like Ajax or Windex or Lemon Pledge or anything else, but it's certainly not something that we should be drinking in our water supplies, and it is added independently of the filtration process. So there in a nutshell is fluoride. Sylvain, maybe you can flesh that out a bit more and then get into what happened in Gatineau.
Okay, well, first of all, I would like to say that even though my background, my academic background is in biochemistry from McGill University, I did not focus on the subject of fluoridation until very recently when I read on the internet all the facts on the subject. And not only the facts, but the subject matter experts such as Dr. Hardy Lanback and some others, Gilles Parra, and even the international ones like Dr. Paul Connett and so on, who I know. And then I saw that, my God, if the evidence is there and if the experts are saying that this is dangerous and if common sense dictates that this is dangerous to us, how come the municipalities keep on fluoridating? So then I said maybe it's just a question of people are not standing up and doing something about it. And I'm not talking about protests because I'm not for protests. I think that's a way of the past. So then I got together with a group of concerned citizens here in the Gatineau area, and we said, well, let's go to the town and ask the municipal government why it plans to fluoridate our water, because back then it was decided among them that they would do that. And so then we asked for a public consultation, and we had that, and it was televised on CBC and some other national TV news stations. And then I was a number of us, well, 20 of us, but 10 of us in particular had the opportunity to present our arguments in front of the 17 city councilors in Gatineau and the mayor himself to say, you know, why we were opposing this. And they were very surprised with the turnout. And then two of the councilors in particular were very nasty in our attacks, and we made a very, how do you say, a bulletproof argument, and it was very simple. But in that particular circumstance, one of the councilors got back and said he noticed, because some of them are very excellent politicians, he looked at the audience and he saw that most of us who were presenting the arguments against fluoridation were senior citizens, okay? I'm not there yet, I'm almost there, but, and then he says, well, Sylvain, because when I was presenting, he says, Sylvain, don't you care about the dental health of our senior citizens? And then I looked at him and I say, I care about their total health, okay? And I say, if the World Dentistry Organization, if the former head of the Canadian Dental Association says it's no good, then it's no good. And by the way, it's a derivative, sorry, it's used, in a lot of dangerous cases, like in its pure form, you know, 4 grams of the stuff will kill a 70-kilogram man. Now, what's with this? And anyways, we kept it simple, we kept it positive, and we managed to convince some of the councillors to reconsider their decision. The outcome was that we were told by the mayor, we received emails, that there would be a closed-door secret vote on the subject. And we got back to the mayor and we said, no way. If you're going to have a closed-door vote on this, you know, this won't pass. We're going to do something about it. And so we suggested, we came to a compromise. Have a vote where the public is invited to come, but we won't speak. Because we want to know who votes for or against this. So anyways, the outcome was that a lot of the councillors who had heard our arguments, not only our arguments, but the arguments of Gilles Parent, who was instrumental in this, based on information we obtained from Canadian experts like Carol Clinch and so on, you know, they were overwhelmed by this, and they sort of realized that, you know what, this may be even illegal for them to do that, okay? Is the chemical itself approved, you know, by our health agencies to, you know, for use, you know? And anyways, to make a long story short, we won. The final vote was 17 against and 2-4. And we were very, very proud of that. Now, a lot of the things we did, I would like to not to discuss on air, not because they're illegal, they're fully legal and moral. It's just that, you know, we don't like to reveal our strategy because we intend to hit every town and city in Canada with the help of the experts. The experts are there to help us. The experts can't do it all because what is needed is marketing muscle. And also, people need to just basically stand up. You don't need a lot of people to change city town hall, and you can't be town hall. It doesn't require that many people. It's our system is very simple, sound, safe, and I believe very sure. So it actually was fun. We were surprised that victory would take days, not months or years.
Well, Sylvain, that's fantastic. And for listeners out there in Rude Awakening listener land, this is Monday, March 14th, 2011. We are speaking with Sylvain Henry, SylvainHenry, an expat Montrealer currently in Ottawa, who managed to get the fluoride out of Gatineau, Quebec, along with others. He helped spearhead efforts, and Gatineau has a population of 250,000 people. Now, as I heard your description of what happened, essentially, one of the things you did was you sort of, you know, demanded that your city councilors have a public vote on this, and to find out how they felt, to find out where they stood, and to reveal to other people around you in Gatineau, you know, whether or not they were doing their due diligence in looking at the evidence on fluoride. Is that correct? Is that something you'd recommend? Because here in Toronto and in Ottawa, fluoridation is still happening, and millions of us are getting medicated without our express permission or consent. So what are your thoughts on that strategy in terms of how to work with our political system? You've done it successfully. Can you give us the advice on how to either pressure our politicians if they are unsupportive, or support them if they are supportive of these efforts but are in a system that doesn't like to change?
Well, first of all, I recommend get the facts straight, because nothing convinces like, knowing that you're fighting for the right cause. So people have to be convinced that the facts are there on their side, okay? Number two, contact the experts. One of the top Canadian experts is Carol Clinch. There are others like Dr. Hardy, Limebach, and so on. If you want, I have their contact information. A lot of them, I mean all of them, are willing to talk to you on the phone, send you emails, and they have scores of information and official documents to protect you. So once you're convinced with the experts and with the expert material, okay, then the most important thing is not to get 30,000 people to stand up and protest. That doesn't work anymore. What you got to do is find tops, maximum 50 people, okay, to email their counselors and to email the mayors and say, look, we'd like to know what you think about this, and we'd like to meet you in public, and we'd like that meeting to be televised. Now, if there is an expert among you, great, okay, that person can answer the technical questions because they will have experts on their side. However, their arguments are 40 or 50 years old, and our arguments are fresh. Okay, and so their arguments don't stand up under the light of reason and facts. And but all that is needed is for, you know, three handfuls of people to email them, get their attention, get a public meeting, and then to have a vote. And once you have the vote, you got them.
That's fantastic. So a handful of people, and it really just takes that much pressure on a given issue from members of the public, 20, 30, 50 people who consistently email and demand that these people making $100,000+ a year to represent us do a couple of hours of due diligence and homework on behalf of the health of the people they represent.
Yeah, that's correct. And I'd like to emphasize that in Gatineau, the victory was primarily due to senior citizens. That was their victory. I was there to provide some marketing assistance, and I was overwhelmed with their conviction that this is not a good thing, and for them to care about our society and the health of our society. And so I'd like to emphasize that fact. So we don't need to have big politicians on our side. Now, it will be discovered very, very shortly that what municipalities are doing is most likely illegal, and I'd like to invite some expert to talk about the legality of this. If it's illegal, they have to stop it immediately.
Absolutely. I'm at fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org, and it says here, see the 23 published studies reporting an association of reduced IQ with high fluoride exposure. So that's 23 studies from around the world, from several different countries who've looked into the issue of fluoridation. Another article here, another page at fluoridealert.org, says, update, 3,610 signers by degree as of March 13th, 2011. And this is basically over 3,600 professionals call for an end to fluoridation of drinking water, including the U.S. Members of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency who signed a letter, Dr. Hardy Limebach, as you said, University of Toronto's head of preventive dentistry, who came out in 1999 to basically say, oops, it was a mistake endorsing fluoride a few years ago when I and others did it. And in a very well-detailed and well-researched article, he cited some of the research going back 50 years on fluoride. So the evidence is certainly out there. And I'd like your thoughts on that, on the specific evidence that you found the most compelling for Canadians, for seniors, and for others here in Canada.
Well, first of all, I'd like to mention two particular diseases, okay, that causes damages in our society. One is skeletofluorosis, okay. It's a lot of malformation of the bones due to too much, fluoride intake. I would not be surprised, and I won't mention names, if celebrities, Canadian celebrities, have that disease already because of their high ingestion of this. The other one is osteosarcoma. Osteosarcoma is a bone cancer that is prevalent among males under the age of 13, okay? Did Terry Fox have that? Was that the reason why they amputated his leg and so on? Now, there's also fluorosis, which is a yellowing of the teeth and a degradation of the teeth, okay? Dentists are very, very quiet about this, okay? There used to be some fluoride pills that people could buy. Where are those pills now, you know? You used to buy cigarettes in pharmacies before, you know, you don't see that anymore. So the damages are, you could collect the statistics on this. Now, when you have a disease called skeletal fluorosis, it's caused by fluorides, obviously. And if you look at the medical side of things, what the damages it can cause to the entire body, it makes one think. Now, some people pushing this product, which is a byproduct, it's an industrial waste product, essentially, for human ingestion, what are their arguments for it? They say, well, it causes a reduction of cavities. Well, how much cavities over how much period of time? You have to go into the facts, you know. Or they say, well, half a cavity over a period of 10 years. Is that really worth it? Now, this stuff kills bacteria that causes cavities. Now, so essentially it's a poison for living things, okay? In high enough concentrations, it kills, the entire host of the... it could kill a human being. So the arguments in favor of fluoridating our water are not very strong. So why do they continue doing this, okay? Of course, they want to sell their equipment, their drug dispensing equipment in our water system. Now, will they stop at the fluorides? No. Sodium fluoride it's actually hexafluorosilicic acid that they put in our water by the ounce, but by the ton. Okay. Now, maybe they'll start adding lithium because they say, well, because of the recession, the suicide rate is high, and so on. We want people to be happy. Where will it stop? So essentially, when you install the equipment, which is expensive, which costs millions of dollars to add to a wastewater treatment facility, then you have to maintain it, which costs a lot of money, and you have to operate it the cost itself is super high, okay? And then you have to buy the chemicals by the ton. If you look at the material safety data sheets, the MSDS sheets for the chemicals they put in our water, it says poison. It's a poison. You know, you just take a picture of the bags that they put in our water, it says poison. So what are we doing here? So their argument is going away. They're trying to sell their machinery, their equipment, and good for them. What is their purpose? I don't know. Perhaps their representatives can talk to us, but they don't, you know.
Van, what are the debates like with people? Because, I mean, we here on Rood Awakening on Mondays and Thursdays, I do talk about how the system is corrupt and there are people who are making money off the system at the expense of our health. And I basically say that... The scientists who are often come in from the federal level to try and crack down on cities and city councils who struggle to get it out of their water supply are mercenaries for Merck and Big Pharma and other companies that want to make us sick, and of course plus for the industry that profits off selling municipalities fluoride. We basically pay to get poisoned. Our tax dollars are spent by our municipal governments to medicate and poison us. So what are the conversations like with people that are pro-fluoride proponents?
The pro-fluoride proponents, all they're saying is they're saying that it prevents tooth decay. So my argument is, so you're going to put tons and hundreds of tons of this poison in our water to prevent tooth decay, something we can do with toothpaste and a toothbrush and dental floss and so on. And where does it all go? We drink it. It makes no point. It doesn't prevent tooth decay by drinking it. You have to apply it to the teeth. So that's the first argument I say for them. And I say, well, we take our bath in this stuff, okay? We water our lawns in it. We give it to our dogs and our cats to drink water. And then after all is said and done, it goes back into Lake Ontario where it pollutes the fish. Do they need that fluoride? Do they have a tooth decay problem? You know, for what's the risk for the entire body, for the possible benefits, which is half the prevention of half a cavity over a period of years? You know, the cost-benefit analysis is not there. And right now, they have false arguments. The industry has false arguments to help the municipal councillors promote this. So there probably is corruption behind this. I would not doubt that, okay? The corruption would surface if it was determined that it was illegal, and then you would see the councillors, run away and change their opinions on the subject. But the arguments for fluoridation are too few. The cost-benefit analysis is not good. It's expensive, it's dangerous, and it's most likely illegal.
I agree. And there's tons and tons and tons of groups out there who are working on the fluoride issue. It's pretty popular. And these are groups worldwide, especially in North America. How have you compared their efforts with your efforts? Are you in touch with people? What basically can work? Yeah. Because essentially at this time in history, when, the Canadian Cancer Society at cancer.ca says nearly 50% of us are supposed to get cancer here in Canada, according to 2009 statistics, and fluoride and the fluoridation of water is likely part of that process of toxifying us. Can you speak on the efforts of others across Canada who you're in touch with?
Okay, I'm in communication with different small groups in different cities. Like there's one, Richard Hudon here in Ottawa, and Carol Clinch, which is an overall expert, Gilles Parrain, which is very excellent. In the United States, I'm in communication with somebody you talked about earlier, the Fluoride Action Network, Dr. Paul Connett. Actually, I invited him to come and speak on the subject at Carleton University, the Kailash Mittal Hall. And one of my speakers was Kailash Mittal himself, okay? And it was a very, very successful event. We reserved the hall for two hours, and that was sponsored, and, that was very, very interesting. I was surprised to see the turn-up. It was families, kids, 10-year-olds with their parents. And the sponsors paid for 2 hours. We stayed there 5 hours. I gave the people, went on the stage, and I asked the people, look, this is a bio break. And I was surprised because usually when you give people a bio break, they go back to their cars and leave. But then they came back. The kids were asking questions. Why are they doing this? It says on toothpaste, do not swallow, contains sodium fluoride. Now, why are they putting the chemical in our wastewater, in our water system when it's dangerous? They were asking very good questions. Dr. Paul Connett was instrumental in helping us here in our Gatineau effort because the documents are there. If people think that there are not enough documents on our side, we have 100 documents against one of their documents that this is very dangerous. Now, what's happening is that the small groups across Canada, starting from Ontario and Quebec, are realizing it's easy to beat City Hall. And they're sharing the information offline on how to do it. So Waterloo is falling, and Calgary is falling. All the others will falling and are falling, and I believe Canada will be fluoride-free before 2012 because of the efforts of these small people. And even though a majority of Canadians believe in this, it's always the minority that changes things, and all you need is like a few handfuls of people to overcome this because science is on our side.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Sylvain Henry, expat Montrealer, currently in Ottawa, and an expert on not fluoride per se and the science, although he's very well versed on that, but an expert here this morning on Root Awakening and how to get it out of your water supply if you are a municipality in Canada. And some of the things we've learned include the fact that seniors and families are very, very concerned about this information. How did they find out about these events, Sylvain Henry? You appear to be an expert in marketing the truth in a world full of lies, this Orwellian paradise we live in here, with a bunch of nice people who at times are just confused into making the wrong decisions or supporting the wrong initiatives. So how did you break through that matrix wall into people's hearts and minds to get them interested in these subjects?
Facebook is a tool that was used to turn the Middle East upside down, and Facebook is being used right now in Canada by myself. I have some 25 different groups that I started in Facebook, and one of them's on, you know, fluoridation, the other on chemtrails and truth and so on. And my focus is attracting to myself the experts, the expert knowledge, and the people, the resources, the energy, to direct it in a very, very simple and safe solution that anybody can use really quick, you know, microactivism, if you wish. There's no risk to anybody. And when people see, they don't have to protest, they don't have to wear T-shirts and carry signs. All they have to do is a phone call and an email. So what I do is I use Facebook. You know, one of my main groups is Mass Action Demand. And people go into Facebook, they search for that, and then they find me. So what I do is essentially I help people, wherever they are, help themselves and be leaders in their own community. And the results don't take years. The results take days. And that's the beauty of it, when you know how to go about it. So there are many people who know the subject, you know, the chemicals better than I do. And all that I've experienced, I've had a success, a number of small successes in my activism, and I want to share how I did it so other people can reproduce it elsewhere. If I have a particular website on my own, then perhaps it would be counterproductive because I don't want to be the focus. I want to be the servant of the leaders of our country, and I believe that that action against fluoride will happen right now in Ontario. Ontario has the greatest number of believers that fluoridation is not a good thing. Why do we have to take a bath in something that's supposed to get rid of cavities? They're wakening up. They're doing something about it. Families and seniors and children are at the point right now in our history that they will do something about it.
I agree. I mean, people are certainly more concerned about health issues than ever. In our history, we're looking for tons and tons of advice, and people are buying fluoride water filters in record droves because they do suspect something is wrong with our tap water. Sylvain Henry, what do you recommend out there for people to do about the fluoride issue, just to cap it, to make sure that that people can take away from this interview some actionable intelligence that they can use?
Well, I would first of all recommend that people get their facts straight from heroes like Carol Clinch. And I'll give you her email address so they can get that information. Oh, by the way, she is trying to get through to the show. She's not able to, I just got an email from her. She would like to say something.
By all means, she can certainly call in and we can pull her up on air.
Okay, okay. Her email is caclinch@gmail.com. So I'll write her a note, please.
Okay. You go ahead and write her a note, and I'll just read a little article here. And it's it says here, fluoride fighters from the London Free Press 5 hours ago. And I just did a search of Google News and clicked fluoride here. And this is from Patrick Maloney from March 12th. Well, the local fluoride fight has an interesting new voice, Tomas Winicky. It says here, an avowed white supremacist who once boasted about being London's biggest hater. He was waving the anti-fluoride flag outside the City Hall Saturday at what was first thought to be a neo-Nazi rally. They were promoting two websites, fluoridealert.org and waterloowatch.com, though it's not clear if they're formally linked to either. Still, if Winicky's input doesn't lend credibility to the anti-fluoride crowd's fight, I don't know what does. Now, I'm not bringing this article up to slag the work of Mr. Sylvain Henry, fluoridealert.org, Paul Connett, and everyone else. I'm bringing this up to introduce the idea of false flag attacks on activism out there, including the anarchist Black Bloc G20 protest terrorist tourists who are allowed to burn and break things in Toronto while the police were ordered to stand down at last year's G20 summit. And clearly they seem to be police provocateurs. And then a case like this where in London, Ontario, where the fight for fluoride is no doubt heating up thanks to great activists out there, it is possible that this guy is just a neo-Nazi who happens to hate fluoride, but it is also entirely possible that this guy's a neo-Nazi provocateur who's sent out there to demonize the efforts of people out there who are working to end fluoridation. So just a warning to activists out there, if good people don't speak up, then the good ideas that are floating out there in the cyberspace and in memes in our culture, there will be attempts to discredit them by unscrupulous individuals or the state. So this is a warning out there to people out there to get active on the fluoride issue so you can be a sane and compassionate person like the seniors and the families in Gatineau, Quebec, who helped, along with Sylvain Henry, get the fluoride out of their water supply. If you come out with a sane message explaining this, backed up by the facts, and you're well-spoken and you're compassionate, then it's entirely possible you can beat the slandering of the anti-fluoride crowd and the slandering of people in our mass media and fiction, which happens off the time, something that Alex Jones brings up, where you'll get people who are against vaccines who commit atrocious crimes in CSI episodes and other television shows or who talk about chemtrails and turn out to be serial killers. So there are attempts to demonize the people who are looking into this information and trying to share it with their fellow citizens. And this is one from the London Free Press. Sylvain, your thoughts?
Well, I have an alternative to a protest, the old-style protest, okay? First of all, if you want to plan an old-style protest, you have to contact the police, ask for a permit, they investigate you and this and that. And that takes time, and, you know, that could discourage a lot of people. Here's an alternative which does not require you to get their permission. Just get a group of people to discuss in front of a public place, because we have the right of expression of our opinions. We have the right of assembly, to, let's say, in front of the parliament or the provincial or federal parliament, and just talk about the subject. If people pass by and like to join in our conversation, why not? If the group grows, why not? Are we disturbing the peace? No, we're not disturbing any peace. Are we breaking any laws? No, it is a discussion, a peaceful discussion. We're not soliciting. We're just attracting people by the quality of our ideas. So that's an alternative. And oh, by the way, I got an email from Carol saying that she gets a busy signal when she calls your number at 1-655. She was trying to get through.
Tell her to try 416-595-1678. I apologize. There shouldn't be a busy signal. I should be able to bring up two lines here. So.
Okay, what is the number again? Sorry, 416?
595-1678, I believe.
Okay, 1-6-7-8. Okay, I'm going to send that to her because she is the expert, and everybody knows her who's involved in this. And I just sent her the message. On my end, I'm not here to convince those who are just new to this topic. I'm here to try to vibrate with the souls of the people who already are convinced it's a bad thing and to get them to the next step, which is actually to make a phone call, to send an email, or to have an intelligent discussion among their friends. Could be a coffee chat in a coffee shop. Those are very effective because if the dynamics of your conversation are such that it attracts people around you, and I've done this before, people agree with you and they say, can I join in your conversation? And it's actually, that's how I got started in activism because, you know, that worked so well that my group eventually grew up to hundreds from coffee chats and chat walks and that kind of thing. So, anyways, I sent a message to Carol. Hope she can reach you on the second number.
I hope so. I've had two people call in before and did an interview a couple of weeks ago. And so it worked out fine, but if not, then we'll be sure to have Ms. Clinch up at another time. Sylvain Henry, do you have a website or any websites of your own or any information where people can find out more about your work?
Well, they can contact me directly at 613-600-LEAD, that's 5323, or they can email me at sylvain.henry, that's spelled with a Y, H-E-N-R-Y, @gmail.com. Or if they want to be part of our group, just go into Facebook and do a search for Mass Action Demand, and they will see. I have several thousand people from all over Canada and different parts of the world also who are united. There's no we don't debate things because we're all on the same page on this. All we're doing is that we're convinced, we're believers, and we want to say what is the safest, soundest, surest thing we can do together to win, and we are winning. And so it's marketing support for the experts, so to speak.
Now, so then, Henri, you've mentioned marketing several times here. Can you define, some strategies for people out there who are marketing the truth? Just because it seems to be the only problem we have appears to be to me to be confidence in terms of do we believe in ourselves enough to be able to communicate this? Do we believe in, are we confident in other people's ability to handle it and take action? Is it worth our time? Is it worth our efforts? And outside of that, you know, once the confidence is there, you can get inspired by some of the great artists, religious thinkers in history, activists, philosophers, whatever. There's plenty of people out there who can inspire us. But once you're inspired, any marketing suggestions on how to approach people with this information so you're not rejected?
Okay. First of all, you're right. The first ingredient is confidence. And for decades, this was lacking in Canada. I mean, the tobacco industry got away with it for so long because nobody dared to go against them. So now that has changed. People, thanks to the internet, thanks to email, thanks to Facebook and, social networks such as like that, people are sharing information. And people are developing confidence because they realize that, 100 years ago, we didn't, nobody was talking about cancers 100 years ago. And now we have all these cancers. Where do they come from? How come we don't focus our research studies on prevention rather than cure? What causes cancer? You know, we spend more money on curing hospital drugs and eventually funeral home services. So we should focus. So confidence is the first thing, and that is happening primarily in Canada, primarily in Ontario. I'm talking worldwide here, and also Guelph, Ontario, Waterloo, and Ottawa are starting to stand up and say, look, we're not afraid of the government. We're going to do something about it. We have forces against us, and that scares a lot of people. For instance, I started the first all mayoral candidates debate in Ottawa here. I organized it. It was televised on CBC and CTV because I wanted to improve democracy and give every candidate the equal air opportunity, equal media exposure, and so on. I believe I was successful in that, but partially. But I realize that the media favors the candidates that talk about the subjects. For instance, public transportation was the big thing here, okay? We don't need to have a $2 billion underground metro system in Ottawa. I don't know if anybody's been to Ottawa, but I mean, you could walk anywhere. You know, it's like not like Montreal or Toronto. Why do we need an underground subway? So the people are standing up. They have this confidence. And I repeat, Ontario and Quebec, but primarily Ontario right now is playing a key part in this uprising in truth against corruption and against whatever makes us sick.
It's fantastic to hear. We are broadcasting from Toronto, Ontario right now, speaking with Sylvain Henri. You can find his work at sylvain.henry@gmail.com, or look for him on Facebook and join his Facebook groups related to fluoride to get more information, to network with people worldwide, because then you'll feel much more confident about these issues. So many times people discover this information and then are left feeling isolated with it. They look at it because they feel a sense of responsibility, or they look at it to be entertained. But essentially, they just get accustomed to what's going on and used to what's going on instead of reacting in logical and positive and empowering ways to what they're finding out. So definitely check out the work of Mr. Sylvain Henri. Sylvain, you're working on fluoride here, and I guess we can close off this chapter unless you have anything further to say on that. But if not, then let's get into chemtrails and let's get into that phenomena and the efforts to deal with that.
Okay, well, before we get into that, Carol told me that the second number does not work, and do I have to get offline so she can get on, because she is so important? I'd like her to talk to the people.
Well,
her message is even more important than what I had to say.
If you, does she have the original phone number right? 416-595-1655?
Yes.
Okay. If you would like to, Sylvain, if you'd like to hang up, you can hang up and she can call in. That's fine with me.
And I'll call back if there's some time after the end, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Great interview.
Okay, thanks.
And that was Mr. Sylvain Henry, an expert on fluoride who helped get the fluoride out of Canada's water supply. Or out of Gatineau's water supply in Gatineau, Quebec. And so hopefully you folks enjoyed his analysis of that. It's really simple stuff, folks. It's always been really simple stuff with respect to fluoride. Noting that, I'm going to take you to a song of mine called Fluoricide while we wait for Miss Carol Clinch to call in. Carol Clinch on the line. Carol, are you here?
I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. Please, Carol, tell us a bit about yourself. Sylvain Henry recommended you as an expert on the issue of fluoride.
Well, I have a couple of degrees. One is a health degree, and another one is what is now called kinesiology. And I have published 4 papers recently on fluoride toxicity. And I have written about 15 reviews to various government agencies in Canada and abroad. I would like to make a couple of points. The first one is safe drinking water is a basic human need. The United Nations last year called it a basic human right.
Okay. Carol, it seems like you're... Could you back off your phone just a bit or maybe get to a better... Your reception's a little bit flawed.
I'm on the phone, and I'm not sure what...
Okay, there you go. That cleared up well. Just stay where you are right now, and please continue. Sorry.
Okay. The Supreme Court of Canada has stated that fluoridation is compulsory previous to medication used for special health purposes. I contend that putting medication in...
I'm sorry, Carol. Something's going on with the phone here. I can't figure it out. Just was speaking with Sylvain. Are you on a landline phone or cell phone?
I'm on a landline.
Landline phone? Okay, this is very, very strange, but please continue. I'm going to try fiddling with the levels, but it's just a little difficult right now.
So, well, how about if I disconnect then?
Okay, if you can disconnect and you want to call back in?
I'm not sure. That's not working very well. Yeah,
okay, let me try this again. Carol, check, 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 1, 2.
Okay, I'm not hearing as much echo here.
Okay, that sounds a bit better. Why don't you please continue?
Using drinking water as a vehicle to deliver a medication is really bad medical practice. First of all, we're using an unapproved, unregulated fluoride product. I've contacted all government agencies in Canada who have something to do with this issue, and they have all indicated that it is unapproved, and none of these government agencies accept any responsibility for the safety of these products. There have been no toxicology studies done on these products to determine the safety as required by the law. There is no control over who gets the medication. There's absolutely no control over the daily intake of fluoride in drinking water, and that's intuitive. It doesn't take a rocket science to know that the amount of water you drink in a day cannot be controlled. someone like an athlete or a soldier or an outdoor worker or someone with nephrogenic diabetes, they might drink anywhere from 8 to 12 to even 15 liters of water a day. These people are getting way too much fluoride. A baby ingests 3 to 4 times more fluoride or drinking water than an adult. They're getting way too much fluoride if they're using drinking water mixed with infant formula. There's also no investigation of adverse health effects by health authorities for the 60-year experiment that's been going on in North America. And most egregiously, citizens are deprived of informed consent.
Absolutely, and we're speaking with Ms. Carol Clinch, an expert on fluoridation, and that's an interesting point. Even if it was good for us, and it was a medication that we should take to improve the health of our teeth, we cannot control how much each of us is getting with respect to how much water we consume. So are we getting the right amounts for each of us if the science is even based in fact? But in fact, it's not. Carol, can you take us a bit through the history of fluoridation so people get an idea from the scientific perspective of what's been happening?
Well, it began in 1945 with four fluoridation trials in North America. One of those was in Canada, in Brantford, Ontario. And, of course, the original trial, informed consent was not obtained from any of the citizens. The citizens were largely unaware of what was going on. There was no arranged investigation of health effects, other than covert operations that we found out through investigation by an investigative journalist called Bryson, but this information was never released to the public. We do know from one of the trials in Kingston, Newburgh, that there was, as over in a 40 to 50 year follow-up, that there was absolutely no benefit from ingesting these tiny amounts of fluoride. But there were health effects, adverse health effects noted, and the adverse health effects noted at that with this particular trial were cortical defects in bones, which is a precursor to what we call osteosarcoma or bone cancer. And other adverse effect was they noted that there seemed to be an influence on the melatonin from the pineal gland because there was a premature development, prepubertal development in women and girls. So the conclusion we see is that there are no definite harm from the use of small amounts of fluoride.
I'm sorry, Carol, can you just change your position a bit again? Just the phone's breaking up. I don't know if you're on a cordless or something, but there's definitely some static there. Sorry about that. Yeah, but please continue.
Okay. I believe that no city councilor has the right to make a decision whether I make a medication or not, and no neighbor in a referendum has the business of deciding whether I take a medication or not. I believe that it's only the decision to take a medication between myself, the trained practitioner, only. Now, I've got one quote from counselor in Niagara Falls. And he makes the point, do we have the right, the political right, to force another access to one of the two most life-supporting matters that we have, water and air? Now, there are an awful lot of people who oppose this, and will have no other choice if we implement it. They will be drinking water, and they don't all buy bottled water. The same people that buy bottled water can afford to buy it, and a lot of people cannot afford to buy it. Have to drink the municipal tap water. That's Councillor Sweeten from Niagara Falls.
Yeah, it's absolutely criminal. It's the same thing with organic food versus poison food at the grocery store and all the other health solutions out there that involve spending more money. It's not bad if you have it, although these days, with prices rising across the board worldwide, you know, who does have a lot of extra money? And more importantly, it's a sign of society's failure to take care of its most vulnerable members by forcing them to drink fluoridated water that's contaminated with other contaminants and to eat substandard genetically modified food and so on and so forth. So there are serious economic there are arguments here that activists should take up because this is sort of an economic genocide against the poorest members of our society. Can you comment on the efforts of others out there who you'd like to recommend in this area, or what the efforts are so far, or what you would recommend people do to help get rid of fluoride wherever they live?
Yeah, there are only three people empowered to do something about it. One is the medical officer of health, who will not do anything about it, I suspect, because they have a policy in place that is 60 years old, promoting and supporting it. I suspect that your medical officer of health would be jeopardized. His job would be jeopardized if he came out tomorrow and said, we've got to turn it off because it doesn't work and it's causing definite, irrefutable harm. There's a conflict here between his professional obligations to his organization and his professional requirements to protect the public health. The second group that could do something about it are water operators, and they should be targeted and educated. But clearly the target for everyone is council. The city council should be contacted. People should write letters, and they should request interviews to inform these people of the accurate information. Now, there are a number of things that people also could do. If you find that a medical officer of health or a medical doctor is actually making false and misleading statements, you can file a complaint to the Ontario College of Physicians and Surgeons. If you find a dentist is making false and misleading statements, you can file a complaint to the Royal College of Dental Surgeons of Ontario. And if you find a professional engineer and a water operator in a city is also making false and misleading statements, they have a regulatory body called the Professional Engineers of Ontario. If you find someone working within a provincial government is making false and misleading statements, you can file a complaint to the Attorney General of Ontario or file a complaint to the Ontario Ombudsman. So there are a number of mechanisms in place to try to correct this wrong.
That's fantastic. Ms. Carol Clinch, we're speaking with Carol Clinch, an expert on fluoridation, joining us along with Sylvain Henry this morning earlier. And these interviews were set up by Matthew Buchler in Ottawa. So shout outs to Matt Buchler in Ottawa for doing a great job in getting these fine folks on air. Ms. Carol Clinch, we only have a couple of minutes left here. I'd just like you to make your declarative statements with respect to where people can find your work, where people can get in touch with you, and what you recommend out there for people to do. And the best ways to communicate about this, because people like yourself have had a lot of practice on this specific issue. You may know some of the best arguments. It's a fair amount to cover, but it's all important. Ms. Carol Clinch, please take it away.
The ethical arguments must be put forward at this point in time. The ethical and arguments are political arguments. Discussing science can get bogged down in he said, she said arguments. So the issue of informed choice, for example, is important because by international, national, professional, and provincial standards, anyone who administers a medication, which the Supreme Court of Canada declares it is, must give information regarding risks and benefits. Hello?
Yeah, we're still here. Please continue.
And they must give a choice to refuse or accept a drug. The trained professional must assess medical needs. So the people should also be directed to the Health Canada website or the Auditor General Petitions website, where I have helped organize a number of petitions there. And you'll see there the quote from Health Canada, which mandates a warning on all toothpaste labels, which says if more than used for brushing is accidentally swallowed, get medical help or contact a poison control center right away. People have been misled into believing that fluoride is not toxic, where indeed it is very toxic. The history of this chemical has never demonstrated safety, and it certainly has not demonstrated that it works. This product is also, because of this, is such a waste of taxpayers' money. The American Water Works Association states clearly that we drink very little of our drinking water, less than 1%. The rest of it just goes literally down the toilet and down our drains.
Right. So even if it was good for us, it is a waste of perfectly good medication, assuming you could even trust that.
Right.
Ms. Carol Clinch, can you shout out the website where people can find your work or your email, how to contact you?
Oh, okay. It's People for Safe Drinking Water webpage on Chris Gupta's website.
Okay, People for Safe Drinking Water and Carol Clinch, C-L-I-N-C-H. And you can find Ms. Clinch's work. And I'd like to thank
On Chris Gupta.
On Chris Gupta?
Mm-hmm. You have to Google Chris Gupta.
Chris Gupta. Okay, so Chris, G-U-P-T-A.
Yes.
Ms. Carol Clinch, I want to thank you so much for your time this morning. Sorry we couldn't get you on earlier with Sylvain, but we will have you back up on your own to flesh these ideas out in more detail. But I want to thank you so much for your time and your efforts so far as a Canadian, and wish you best of luck, and please stay in touch.
Thank you, VJ.
Thank you. And that was Ms. Carol Clinch, fluoride activist out there, getting to work on these issues and sharing a bit of information that we can pass on. Before the People's DJ, Mr. David James takes you on a four-hour jazz experience you will obviously enjoy because he is a jazz genius. This has been VJ, a.k.a. BK, your host on Mondays and Thursdays of Rude Awakening. Hopefully you enjoyed today's special on fluoride. Thanks again to Sylvain, Henri, Carol Clinch, and Matthew Buechler for setting up these interviews. And websites to shout out there include Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, FluorideAlert.org, VRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forms, SeedsOfDeception.com for genetically modified food info on that. Excuse me, locally, Press4Truth.ca, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, ConspiracyCulture.com, Book and DVD Store, and the Toronto Street News Street Paper, newspaper out there, sold by the homeless here in Toronto. There's tons and tons and tons of information out there about these issues, and people are starting to get a little bit concerned. So for those of us out there who have knowledge, knowledge is power, and when you have power, you can empower others, so do not be afraid to use your power in positive ways to empower others with information that can improve their lives, that can cause them less stress, improve their health, save the health of their children, their families, and their friends, and of course, in the bigger picture, help to defeat the New World Order globalization plans to basically, enslave the planet in a scientific dictatorship. Instead of being Lobato castrated by our mediums, let's instead try and focus on being, using them productively like these fine folks have. I'm out of here, folks. Hopefully you have a great day. Hopefully you have a great week. We'll see you on Thursday. Peace out. Now you know, can't think no more, cause of H2O, cause in your glass of water there's fluoride. Who's down to ride? Cause in your glass of water there's fluoride. Who's down to die? Cause in your glass of water there's fluoride. Who's down to ride? Cause in your glass of water there's fluoride. Denora jump-started the environmental movement. But environmentalists don't know that Denora was almost certainly caused by fluoride. What the heck they doing to a toothpaste tube or two? Many men and women better off sniffing glue. Might clean your teeth, true. Ajax might too. A Windex, a Skindex, chin checks you. Floored by the warning label on the tube. If a child swallows too much, you better make them puke. Can't use the baby formula, true. Get a clue. Cause dumbing us down means you getting it too. The commies and Nazis used it true. Kills roaches and rats better than most traps do. Aluminum waste. Get a taste of what they do. Instead of throw it out, they charge it to you. Just a fax man, just a tax man, just a way to get away with a son of Sam scam. Sons of Nazis, man, this ain't Yahtzee, damn. You can't crazies, ain't crazy, blazing at the man. Damn, nation, you ain't faced up to this plan. When European land said, hell no, and no thanks. No woman, no man should be forcibly medicated in secret. They couldn't keep it free, so they speak it if you
You're
can.
Being attacked by propaganda. You're being attacked by propaganda. You're being attacked by propaganda. You're being attacked by propaganda.
Cause in your glass of water there's fluoride.